Welcome back to the Reset Rebel podcast with me, Jo Yule. And we return once again with our very special TEDx series. And this week, I'm in San Lorenzo, back at the Wider Sounds studios of Coco Francavilla. He is, of course, today's guest. I'm very excited to be having this conversation here in her incredible studio, where she's been hosting some of the rehearsals for the event on the 29th of March at the Palacio de Congreso. So we are going to talk today about her concept of re-oceaning, and I'm very excited to introduce her to you. She's been on the series once before, but we're coming back today with her new idea worth sharing, which is, of course, the whole idea of TEDx. So Coco, we're going to talk about that in a sec, but thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you so much, Jo, and welcome back to reuniting this conversation between sound and music and sustainability and small change that we can make to, you know, drive something positive for our blue planet. So thank you for coming here.
I feel like this is a little bit like my second home lately, and I have to admit I'm quite enjoying it. I wish this was my second home or just my home in general. I can move in if you like.
Yes, this is my recording studio. I've been here on the island for many years now, and my daughter grew up here. I came to the island to, let's say, rewild myself and reconnect to nature and starting to, you know, build a new life that is more sustainable and more full of awareness of our surroundings.
So I didn't actually add into the introduction that you are, of course, a composer and a film scorer and an ambient musician and obviously a mother and many other things besides. But, you know, specifically, you know, you have worked in the music industry. And even last year, you know, you were on tour with a pretty large electronic music act.
Yes, I've been in the music industry all my life, basically. I started studying classical guitar. I had a punk rock band. I started electronic music career, been on tour with Tricky from Massive Attack. I started film scoring, had the honor to be part of big projects such as Blade Runner, trailer music, and when I came here to the island, I opened my recording studio after being living in many cities like New York, LA, Berlin. But I really needed to come to the island, not just because of music, but also to start a different lifestyle and reconnect myself with nature and sound and the sea. And of course, I had the opportunity here to work with different artists that are here on the island, but also invite artists to come on my journey and produce and compose with them. And yeah, recently I was on tour with Afterlife as a sound engineer, taking care of a lot of like technical stuff. So I've always been kind of behind the scene. I started my career as an artist, you know, going on tour and everything, but I shortly realized how my passion was just more to be behind the curtains and work in the studio and trying to use music not just as a tool to make a career into the discography world of releasing album and be on tour, but find a way where sound and music had a connection with something more, let's say, powerful, something like that can amplify voices of stories that are often unheard, whether it's social justice, like I've been writing music for documentaries that, you know, talks about death penalty, for example, or, you know, utilizing music to dive deep in the world of binaural beats and how music can really change our brain waves, vibration and meditative state of mind, and and music as a powerful tool to raise awareness for climate change. So this has been kind of my journey. Of course, I have to make jobs that pay my bills and I can support my family. But what I'm interested in really is like how can we use the music as a voice to raise awareness on a deeper level. So our internal awareness and how this consciousness and resilience can resonate outward to create a change. So that's kind of my mission with music.
So we've spoken at an event together earlier on this year. We were sort of talking about your music for the sea and an NGO that you've set up to protect, you know, the Posidonia Oceanica, which is, of course, this underwater treasure that, you know, many people that come here obviously don't know too much about. But it's definitely, you know, one of the main drivers of a lot of work that you have been doing musically, and specifically something that the UN are potentially even going to be recognizing in the not too distant future if everything goes according to plan. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so when I arrived to Ibiza, of course I had a transformative personal journey, but I also discovered, as you said, this amazing world of the Posidonia Oceanica, which is like a magical, they call it the guardian of the sea because it's a magical underwater ecosystem of marine plants that have been learned to live underwater. They say 100 million of years, so it's believed to be one of the oldest living organisms on the planet. And the greatest and most ancient seagrass meadow is here in Ibiza, between Ibiza and Formentera. And when I discovered that, I was like, wow, I mean, this is crazy. We have, in Ibiza is an epicenter of the music industry, but it's also an epicenter of a very precious marine ecosystem. So I kind of had the urge to act, to unite these two worlds. And I started by really calling up my artist friends from the ambient music scene, which is by default, let's say, you know, a community of artists that are really close to nature because they use natural sound and field recordings to do their music. So at first I call my friends and say, like, Grand River and Rafael Antonio Risari and Sophie Birch, Patricia Wolf, like amazing artists in the ambient scene, to say, hey guys, you have to come here. We have to do some field recording of the sea and I want to take you to discover these beautiful Posidonia meadows, their gentle dance and this humming that they make, and we can make a great album with all these field recordings. And then when the artists came here and we started to have this kind of artistic project, this, I felt, become like a community. And I had the sense to say, okay, well, what if this artistic project becomes something bigger, becomes an NGO that I called Music for the Sea, that could really be the bridge between the music industry and the marine conservation, with in mind the fact that I believe that, of course, artists are storytellers and they create emotion that touch people, and music has an enormous tool to connect and unite people. But then we need also the voices of the scientists that describe how really the world is made, and that give us the tool to, you know, to create this awareness. So I really believe in the synergy between artists and scientists and forward-thinking creatives and community engagement. And this is the mission of Music for the Sea, really to bridge this world.
Before we continue, I think, like, because you were on the last, you were on the series earlier on, I would love to know maybe just one song that we could insert here on Open Lab from the album of the artist that you got together for that very specific record that you put together to reflect these field recordings and the kind of group of musicians that you got together, because you're probably the only person out of all the TEDx speakers that actually has a repertoire of incredible music. So maybe if you could just give us one track that we could play now before we continue.
Well, we don't have a track that is finished yet for this project because it's still work in progress. And we are also exploring the fact that we can use the underwater recording of the acoustic research that we are about to start to use this sound of for scientific purpose, also to make music. But there's one song that I made that it was inspired by the sense of gravity that we have the universe and also in the water, that is kind of reconnecting to the primordial sensory feeling that we have when we are in the womb, and this connected a lot with my whole reconnection to the ocean. So I think this could be a really a good song for me to describe this feeling of reconnecting with the water, and it's called Gravity.
Okay, so we're just going to hear that song right now. Thank you. So that was Gravity, inspired by the sounds of underwater expeditions and the sounds of the boom. So we're coming back again with today's guest, Coco Francavilla, who is, of course, an ambient musician, composer, film scorer, and we're sitting in her studio here at Wider Sounds in San Lorenzo. So just tell us that you mentioned it in just before we listened to that incredible song, you know, about the hydrophone and this scientific experiment that you're going to be doing underwater in the not too distant future when you deploy that microphone just before the summer.
Yes, so the idea of Music for the Sea, to connect the scientific expert with the music, at one point it became reality when I attended at the United Nations Ocean Decade Conference in Barcelona last year, that was actually happening the same days that we were presenting our Posidonia project as a music project to MUTEC Festival. And I had the chance to go to the UN conference, and I met incredible people that work in ocean science also through awareness. And there is this program called the Maritime Acoustic Environment Program Research of the United Nations Ocean Decade, which has as the goal this UN initiative to establish the 30% of land and sea, and in this case the ocean, for Ocean Decade, protected area by 2030. And so there's so many initiatives going on for Ocean Decade that is gonna end at 2030, with a series of challenges, and they call it the 10 challenges. And there is, among of those, there is protect biodiversity, beat marine pollution. But there's the 10th challenge, that is restoring societal relationship with the ocean. And when I discovered that, everything makes sense. I was like, oh my God, like, okay, so I need to connect with the ocean scientists. Music is a tool of awareness. So everything started to make sense. I didn't even know about it. So this happened after I launched the NGO, and I was like, wow, now we have a purpose that aligns actually with our United Nations initiative, restoring our connection with the ocean. And I met a group of scientists that are actually utilizing underwater acoustic research in the Mesoamerican Reef of Mexico, in Tulum and Cancun, to study the anthropogenic noise, so how noise is affecting the marine life around the coral reef. And they engage with citizen science, and they deploy hydrophones, they create music with it. And so when I met them and I told them, wow, I'm trying to do the same thing with Posidonia, so engaging artists to do field recordings, they were like, well, it will be great if you're also part of this program of the Maritime Acoustic Environment, and maybe you get an endorsement by the UN. And I had no clue where to start, because, I mean, I knew the work of marine biologist Manu San Felix, who's called the Posidonia Warriors, that you know very good, that, you know, is doing an amazing job by protecting here Posidonia, but I have no idea where to start for the acoustic research. And I literally went on LinkedIn and looked for underwater acoustic expert. And through a series of like people guiding me, I got in touch with this amazing woman. She's called Neus Perez. And she's an underwater acoustic researcher of the University of Cadiz in the INMAR Institute, Institute of Marine Acoustic Research. And so I reached out to her, and she fell in love with the project, and she said, I'm going to help you to write the application for the UN in a scientific way. So we spent the whole summer, really, literally. I didn't go on holiday. I was working really hard with NAOS to write this submission for the UN. And I learned so much. I learned so much about the ocean, about how is our lifeblood, and so many things about really acoustic and underwater acoustic. How is important really to study the marine environment, and how really sound is a bioindicator to study our world that is not only underwater, but it's also above water. So now we are, let's say, in a phase where there's a lot of interest from the UN to give us the endorsement. We don't know if we get it yet, we hope. But we are, through this submission, let's say, I had the chance to connect with a lot of ocean science experts and really expand this network of, let's say, bridging this world of ocean science and music. So now we got in touch with the Posidonia Network in the Mediterranean, which is initiatives trying to safeguard Posidonia all over the Mediterranean, and scientists that will come here to do citizen scienceship and help us, to guide us in methodology of acoustic research. And we are collaborating with True World Organization, which is an amazing climate action platform, and a lot of initiatives that are really exciting to realize how many people are really working towards the protecting of the ocean.
So let's talk about the TEDx Dalvila talk that you've obviously been putting together, and the process of that, and how that's going to translate onto the stage on the big day on the March 29th. I've just been sitting here listening to some of the rehearsals with some of the speakers, and it's all shaping up to be such an incredible day and such an exciting experience.
Yeah, it's been very exciting and very also overwhelming, I have to say. I mean,
I love the honesty.
When they invited me, I was like, sure, you know, 5, 10 minutes. I talk about this every day with scientists and musicians and NGOs. So it's my, you know, daily bread, let's say. But then when you have to do a TED, there's a procedure that I was not really aware at the beginning, I have to say. So it's been...
Nobody is.
So it's been very tough because you really feel like you're part of a bigger act, like you're part like of a play, mm-hmm. where really your idea needs to be clear and inspire people. So my talk is going to be about re-oceaning and my journey on how I reconnect to the ocean and how to rewild and create awareness inside of us and create an action that can, you know, drive a global positive change. We need to really first reconnect. And for me, the first reconnection is the ocean, mm-hmm. to drive this change. And so I hope with this talk I can spark some curiosity of reconnecting with the ocean and drive a bit of awareness on how we can move forward to a bluer life.
Beautiful. I'm really glad that you mentioned, you know, the process of all of this. I don't think anybody that obviously comes along on the big day itself like has any idea just how much work goes into delivering a 9, 10, 12 minute talk. I mean, it is a lot of work. You know, you guys are working so, so hard to not just write this talk, but write it in a way that really conveys such a complex subject, as we've just been listening to everything you've said. And, you know, each of these incredible speakers comes from such, you know, a smorgasbord of different backgrounds and ideas and research and ideas. And it's going to be a really, really exciting day. So I'm very, very honoured to be hosting. I'm very excited to see you in action on the big day itself. You're also going to be performing live.
Yes, I'm going to do, let's say, a hybrid talk and performance, because my performance is part of my talk. So I don't want to tell you too much because I leave a bit of curiosity, but I hope to, you know, to meet everybody and be part of this, what is for me a collective effort. You know, I really believe in the engagement of communities in every sense, whether, you know, getting together to create, you know, awareness or learn something new or inspire each other. I think at the base of any big change is really the coming together, you know. So and Ibiza is a great platform to do that because I have people coming from a lot of places of the world. There's a lot of wealthy people and influential people that I think can, you know, utilize their assets and their voices and their resources to create change. But there's also, you know, the local community and, you know, the people that live in the island that needs to have a voice. And there's also, you know, a way to, you know, to connect these two worlds that sometimes as a local, I feel it's a bit disconnected. You know, a lot of people come here to the island and kind of exploiting the island, you know, with this big abundance of the island, of party, of richness. But there's so many other things that the island needs for the locals, for, you know, the problem that we have with water, with marine conservation, with so I think TED is a great platform to really unite this, you know, this two world of exclusivity and something that needs to be more inclusive. We really need that.
I really, you know, think you've hit the nail on the head there. And I think, you know, to actually be doing the work to bring together, you know, this narrative between the intersection of the music industry and, you know, our preservation of island ecology is incredible work. And I'm a huge fan of what you're doing, and really, really happy that, you know, there's somebody kind of pursuing this really on all our behalves. So thank you for the work that you do. And I can't wait to see the performance and to see your re-oceaning talk live on stage at the Palacio de Congreso on the 29th of March. The episode show links has got the link to the tickets as well, if you are tempted to come and watch Coco in action after this conversation. We would love to see you there on the 29th of March. Coco, thank you so much for hosting us in this beautiful studio once again here in San Lorenzo.
Thank you so much, Joe, and thank you everybody for the support of this little journey that we are doing here on the island.
Thank you so much. We'll be back with you here, same time, same place next week. Thank you again. And thank you to Antonio for producing the show as well. It's not all about the people on the front of the stage or, you know, behind the scenes. And there's a lot of people that's kind of supporting and putting all of this together, as you will witness on the big day itself. Thank you so much. We'll see you soon.
Reset Rebel. It's the Reset Rebel. It's the Reset Rebel. It's the Reset Rebel.